I'm going to go ahead and kind of at least delve somewhat into this. As some of you know, back 6 months ago, as a church, we did a survey. Colin, can you throw the first one up there? We did a survey as a church, and the survey was the CHAT survey, Church Health Assessment Tool. And we all did an online survey, and we answered a bunch of questions. And the idea behind the survey was to find out what our strengths were and what our greatest needs are. And pretty much unanimously, we kind of all agreed that our greatest needs, not necessarily in the same order, but our greatest needs were up there. Spiritual disciplines, servant leadership development, and an outward focus. And as we were preparing to take this chat survey, and as we were in the process of taking it, Lisa and I went to the Philippines, and I did a lot of searching and swimming and running and all kinds of things that helped me to relax while I was there. And some stuff started to come to me, some things were, one of them was this thing in working with these three things and the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And the Great Commandment is to love the Lord your God. And the spiritual disciplines, that's what spiritual discipline is all about, is loving God and having this intimate relationship with God. And then you get into the second is much like it in the commandment, and that is to love others. And that would be servant leadership development, where we start loving each other and working with each other. And as new people come in, we work with them. And then when you take the Great Commandment and you add in the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world, well, then you get the outward focus, which is to reach the world and trying to work with that. And if you can take a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, you will grow a great church. And trying to work with that and the elders and the staff and we've gotten together and we decided that what we want to try to do 2012 as we embark on this journey is to work on spiritual disciplines. Now, what are spiritual disciplines? What are spiritual disciplines? Anybody want to take a stab at a spiritual discipline? Reading your Bible. Okay. Spiritual disciplines. Prayer, okay. Reading your Bible. Let me make it really, really broad for you. Colin, go ahead. Spiritual disciplines are practices that we willingly pursue in response to a God who created us, saved us, and guides us. Spiritual disciplines draw us closer to God. They deepen our understanding of who He is and help make us into the men and women He desires us to become. See, a spiritual discipline is anything that we are willing to do that will draw us closer to God. Now, this discipline may not be for all of you, but I discipline myself at times by running to church from my house. And I did that this morning. And when I'm running, it's just me and God. Now, whether it takes me an hour or an hour and a half, whatever it is, as I'm running, it is just me and God. And I can spend time with Him. And I can wrestle with Him and talk to Him and hopefully get Him to talk with me. But a spiritual discipline is anything that you do. And so some of you, it may be music. Some of you, it may be taking a nice warm bath. But there are spiritual disciplines that these smart people, these scholars have kind of come up with that help us to get there. Help us to do that. Now, and one of them, the guy's name is Richard Foster, and he wrote a book that is called Celebration of Discipline. He talks about all these disciplines. And so what we want to do as a church, what we want to do as leaders for you is the first Sunday of every month, we're going to tackle a spiritual discipline. This month, which is actually the first day of the first month of 2012, the spiritual discipline that we want to look at is Bible reading or Bible study. But before we go there, and as we do these spiritual disciplines, Richard Foster kind of likens spiritual disciplines to two things. One is a field, and the other is a path. You see, a farmer is helpless to grow grain. All he can do is to provide the right conditions for the growing of the grain. He cultivates the ground, he plants the seeds, he waters, and then the natural forces take over. And all of a sudden, the ground starts to grow, the seeds grow. See, that is the way it is with the spiritual disciplines. They are a way of sowing for the Spirit. He goes on to say that the spiritual disciplines are like a narrow ridge with sheer cliffs on both sides. On one side is the abyss of truth and works. On the other side is the abyss of faith without deeds. And on this ridge, there is a path. The spiritual disciplines of the spiritual life. We must always remember that that path, if you're walking that path, it does not produce the change. It only places you where the Spirit can do the change. So as we work on these spiritual disciplines, the disciplines themselves do not create the change. They just prepare you for the changes that the Spirit would make. So spiritual disciplines. The first Sunday of every month, we're going to do that today, is Bible study. And as we dig into this, back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Most people probably don't know what Morse code is anymore. We just did texting code. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office that address that was listed. And when he arrived, he entered this large, busy, noisy office. All kinds of noise, all kinds of clatter going on, including a telegraph machine that was ticking away in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter there instructed all the applicants who came in to fill out this form and then to wait patiently until they were summoned to enter into an inner office. The young man filled out his form and he sat down with all the other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, the young man stood up. He crossed the room and opened the door and walked into the inner office. Naturally, all of the other applicants kind of perked up, wondering what was going on. They talked amongst themselves that they hadn't heard any summons, that this young man must have made a mistake and he went in too early. And because of that, he was going to be disqualified. Within a few minutes, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled." The other applicants, they began to grumble amongst each other, trying to figure out what was going on. One of them even spoke up and said, "Wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the last one to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. And yet he got the job? That's not fair." The employer said, "I'm sorry, but all the time that you have been sitting here, the telegraph machine has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, and the job is his. Now, I think many of us kind of make the same mistake when it comes to Bible study. We study the Bible, but are we really listening for God's voice? And therefore, we do not understand what He wants to say to us. We are easily distracted by busyness and all the other things that are going on around us. You see, God has spoken, and He wants to speak to you. But are you listening for His voice? Today, as I talk about Bible reading and Bible study, I want to try to answer two questions. Why study the Bible, and how to study the Bible? Here's a couple quotes for you. Listen to this. There's a translation of scripture that this guy, Eugene Peterson, has undertaken. It has been a great strength to me. He's a poet and a scholar, and he's brought the text back to the tone in which the books were written. Now, that quote actually comes from Bono, the lead singer of the rock group U2. Some of you will know who that is. Here's another one. Many of you will know this one as well. Americans need to read the Bible. Even more, they need to study it. It is the cornerstone of freedom, the foundation of idealism, and the key to abundant living. That one's from the Reverend Billy Graham. As I was going over this and working with this, I came up with five reasons why we should study the Bible. And I'll go through them fairly quickly. You may have other reasons. And on your notes there, I don't have you filling in any blanks or anything like that, so that you can take some of your own notes. If you think of a reason, then write it down. Share it with me later. Maybe share it with other people. Only as we interact with each other and we work with each other, can we help to sharpen each other. First reason I came up with, it's divine. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. You see, it's from God. And it tells us who God is, what God is like, what God desires, what God offers, and most importantly, how we, each one of us, can know God personally. God gave it to us. More importantly, He gave it to you. And it deserves a healthy and humble respect. Now, if you don't have a Bible and you need one, there are some on the back table back there. If you want, I actually have some in the office back here, and I can get one for you. The leather-bound Bibles and stuff. The idea is to have one and to spend a little bit of time in there. The second truth, or the second thing that I came up with on why we should study the Bible is it's the truth. And what we're going to do here is, we're going to have fun for a minute. I need 7 volunteers. If you're willing to volunteer, just stand up and we'll get them. 7 people. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're at 7. Yes, we have 7 volunteers. What we're going to do, you're all going, what do we volunteer for? We're going to play a game here. It's a game of truth or false. Okay? There are 7 questions, and we'll start at this end. And we'll kind of work our way around, okay? The questions will pop up there. You may know what the answer is. If you're not standing, don't tell them what the answer is, okay? We'll work on this. First question, Colin, can you throw up there? Let's see what it says. Here comes the first one. Tori, this one is yours. A penny dropped from the top of the Empire State Building will embed itself in the pavement. True or false? You sure? She says false. Colin, the answer is false. That is correct. Okay, Teresa, you are next. Question number 2. Colin, go ahead. You can send a coconut through the mail without wrapping it. Tori goes, this one's easy. Do you have an answer? Would you like to give another answer?
No.
Okay, the answer is true. You can have the candy. It actually is true. You can send a coconut through the mail without wrapping it. All you have to do is write the address on the coconut. And then you put it in the mail and they'll send it for you. It is true. It really, really is true. Okay, let's go over here. Question 3 for Jim. Here you go. Kirsten, pay attention. If your college roommate commits suicide, you get automatic A's in all of your courses. True or false, Jim?
False.
It is. The answer is false. You're right. Kirsten, you were hoping, weren't you? Okay, let's go on. Barb, you got number 4. Koalas are always stoned from ingesting the alcohol in eucalyptus leaves. True or false? True or false?
You want to guess again?
Do I want to say false?
Yeah.
Okay, false.
Okay, the answer is false. Yes, which one? Okay. They eat, but no, they're not always stoned. Okay, let's go on to 5. How about this one? A woman adopted a stray dog in Tijuana, Mexico, and later discovered that it was a sewer rat. John Edward, this one is yours. True or false? Want to guess again? See, the answer is false. It never. Boy, that would be, yeah, Timmy's back there. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? Okay, let's go on to number six. James, you get number six. Some Oregon highway workers blew up a whale and showered the town with whale blubber. True or false? They showered the whole town with whale blubber. True or false? It's true. Okay, question number seven. This is the 100 grand question right here. And you get this one. You can tell if a big operation is underway at the White House by the level of pizza orders that come from the White House. True or false? The 100 grand question. The answer is false. You are right. Okay. Thank you all for playing. Okay. Wasn't that fun? Now, anybody want some chocolate just for being here? Yeah, you can. Anybody want some? Well, Amy, was your hand going up? She started? Okay, Amy. Here you go. Just for being here, you started to raise your hand. You can have it. Okay. Now, as I went through this, some of it was true and some of it was false, and you're trying to figure that out. But the Bible is not just partly true. It is totally true. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth in John 17:17. The third thing that I came up with is that it is our roadmap. Now, for many of you today, maps don't mean a whole lot. GPS. Okay? It is our GPS. It guides us and tells us where we want to go. Psalm 119, verse 105. Says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. See, the Bible not only shows us how to know God, but it tells us how we should live and where we should be going and help to direct us and to guide us. Here's a quote for you. When you have read the Bible, you will know it is the word of God because you will have found in it the key to your own heart, your own happiness, and your own duty. From Woodrow Wilson. Mackay's up there just looking at us. Can you hear me, Mackay? Sorry. Welcome to my mind. The fourth reason that I came up with is it is our food. Just as food is necessary for our physical health, so the Bible is necessary for our spiritual health and growth. Matthew 4:4 says that Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Ezekiel 2:8, but you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Ezekiel 3:1, kind of continuing in the same book. He said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel. Did you know that in that one book, the book of Ezekiel, 18 times it says this phrase, then they will know that I am the Lord. Then they will know that I am the Lord. 18 times in that one book. Theodore Roosevelt said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. The fifth reason I came up, why we should study the Bible is, it is our life. Deuteronomy 32:47 says, they are not just idle words for you, they are your life. The Bible shows us how we can live and how we can have life. How we can have real life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full in John 10:10. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15, 16. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Five reasons why I came up with on why we should study the Bible. Now, you may have others, and you may have written them down. If you did, or if you have something else, come up to me. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. I would like to see if you have another reason why we should study the Bible. But what I want to do is to move on. How can I study the Bible? Well, however you do it, don't do it like the Prince of Granada. You see, the Prince of Granada, he was an heir to the Spanish crown. He was sentenced to solitary confinement in Madrid's ancient prison called the Place of the Skull. They're fearful, dirty, and dreary place. That's how it earned its name, just because of the way it was. Everyone knew that once you entered that prison, you were never, ever going to come out alive. The prince was given one book to read the entire time he was there. It was the Bible. With only one book to read, he read it over and over and over, hundreds of times. That Bible became his constant companion. After 33 years of imprisonment, he died. When the people came in to clean out his cell, they found notes that he had written on the walls with some nails on the soft stone walls, and the notes were something like this. Psalm 118, verse 8, is the middle verse of the Bible. Ezra 7:21 contains all the letters of the alphabet except the letter J. The ninth verse of the eighth chapter of Esther is the longest verse in the Bible. No word or name of more than six syllables can be found in the entire Bible. Now, when psychologist Scott Udell originally noted these facts in an article that he wrote in Psychology Today, he noted the oddity of an individual who spent 33 years of his life studying what some people have called the greatest book of all time. And yet all he could come up with was trivia. For all we know, the Prince of Granada, he never ever made a spiritual commitment to Jesus Christ. But he did become an expert at Bible trivia. How can we make sure that we don't make the same mistake? Well, there's a simple plan that I've come up with to help you get the most out of some Bible study and Bible reading. When I was back in youth group, we had a book that I got. Someone got it for me. It's the Youth Bible Study Notebook. And what it did was you would read through it. And it had all kinds, you won't be able to see all this, but it had different ways of studying the Bible. If you were doing Proverbs, it was called Wise Up, and you could go on, and it would talk Watchman, and then there's Manhunt, and Days in Court. And depending on what you were reading, it gave you different ways to study and to figure out what the Bible was. And as I got older, I found one that not as pretty in pictures, but it does the same thing, and it has ways of taking you through different verses, different chapters, and ways to study the Bible. Now, you may have come up with a way that works for you to study the Bible. And if you did, that is awesome. Share it with other people, because a lot of people have trouble studying the Bible. It just doesn't work. It just is hard to do. But I've come up with an acrostic for you. It's called PRAY. There are four things that you can do as you study the Bible. The first one is to prepare. Now, as you prepare, you need the right tools. When Don and I were here a week and a half ago or so, and we were taking out the old doors, the right tools made all the difference. I had this saw that would allow us to cut right down and cut smooth on it. Without that, we would have been here for a long time trying to get it apart. You need the right tools. A study Bible, a Bible concordance, maybe a one or two volume commentary, A Bible dictionary to help you understand some of the words or to describe some things for you better? Now, you may not have all of those books at your house. For most of you, this will work. James, this one won't help you out. I'm sorry. BibleGateway.com. A great place you can go to, and they will have the Bible in a bunch of different versions there that you can read through. They will have concordances and commentaries. There are other places you can go. Online is a great thing. There are a lot of tools, a lot of helps you can get there. As you prepare to do Bible reading and Bible study, the right tools. You also need the right mindset. Before you begin your study, pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see all the wonderful things in your law. Ask God to guide you in all truth as you're studying. Bible study must be done in faith and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Frank already mentioned a little bit about that. As you're doing things, we don't do things in the world. We do things following the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's guide. And that story, that was an awesome story that you were sharing with us about this family and reading Scripture and how God, sometimes without us even knowing it, orchestrates things and allows things to happen that we don't know about. Trusting the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 says, what you have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that you may understand what God has freely given us. So the first one is to prepare. The second thing is record. There's a dual nature in the Bible because it is God's Word. You see, it has eternal relevance. It speaks to all people in every age and every culture, and so we must listen and obey. But because God chose to spoke His Word through human words back in history, every book of the Bible also has historical particularities, historical relevance, things back then. Each document is conditioned by the language, the time, and the culture in which it was originally written. So we need some kind of balanced approach. We must avoid the extremes. One extreme is to say the Bible is strictly history and it has no relevance to us today. The other extreme is to obey every single command that is in the Bible, like Deuteronomy chapter 2:5, which says a woman must not wear men's clothing. So women, yeah, I got to tell women, no socks, no shorts, no slacks. If you do, it's a sin. Now, guys, you're not off the hook. That same verse says men are not allowed to wear women's clothing either. Yeah, I know some of you are heartbroken by that. You see, there are two important tasks as we're doing Bible study. The first task is exegesis, to lead out. It's a careful and a systematic study of the Scripture to try to find out what its original intent was, what the historical relevance of it was. There are two questions that you can ask when you're doing this exegesis. The first one is context. When was it written? Trying to find out the information around while it was written. The other one is content. What are the meanings of the words? What was God trying to say? Under record, you are doing exegesis. As you do that, you want to read the context of it all. Research some of the historical background if you get the chance to. Find out the original meaning. Ask the five W's. Who, what, where, when, and why. Circle and look up words or phrases. Things that you can dwell on. Some Bibles and things will even allow you to do cross-reference. If you're reading this portion of Scripture, it will send you to another portion, another that might help to give some information on that. The other thing may be to paraphrase. Put the Scripture in your own words so that you can take it with you throughout the day and dwell on it and listen to it and just kind of chew over it, much like a cow does with its cud. Just spend the day dwelling on a section. The third part of this is apply. The A. And this is what you're doing. You're going to love this one. Hermeneutics. asking yourself the question, how does this passage of Scripture apply to me today? Exegesis is kind of the history of it. But the hermeneutics is, how does it apply today? Ask God to speak to you. Ask yourself, is there a sin that I need to confess? Or maybe avoid? A promise that I need to claim, or a principle that I need to live by? Is there an example in there that I need to follow? An action that I need to take? A knowledge of God that is new to me, that I need to work on and figure out how it fits in with the rest of my belief system? The fourth and final part of this pray acrostic is yield. What action does God want me to take? What action does God want you to take? Give yourself to God, yield to Him, and take that action. There was once a Shakespearean actor who was known far and wide for his one-man show of readings and recitations from the classics. He would always end his performance with a dramatic reading of the 23rd Psalm. Each night, without exception, at the conclusion of the psalm, the crowd would give a thunderous applause in appreciation of the actor's incredible ability to bring the verse to life. One night, just before the actor was to offer his customary recital of the 23rd Psalm, a young man from the audience spoke up. "Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite the 23rd Psalm?" The actor was taken back for a moment by this really unusual request, but he allowed the young man to come forward and stand front and center on the stage to recite the psalm, knowing full well that the ability of this unskilled youth would be no match for his own talent. With a soft voice, the young man began to recite the words of the psalm. When he was finished, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation as there had been on other nights. All that could be heard was the sound of weeping. The audience had been so moved by this young man that every eye was full of tears. Amazed by what he had heard, the actor said to the young man, "I don't understand. I have been doing this performance of the 23rd Psalm for years. I have a lifetime of experience and training, but I have never been able to move the audience as you have tonight. Tell me, young man, what is your secret?" The young man humbly replied, "Well, sir, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd." You see, the goal of Bible reading and of Bible study is not to just know the content of the Bible, its stories, its sayings, its teachings. It is to get to know the author of the Bible in a deeper and more personal way. January 1st, 2012. The challenge that I want to put before you is to read through the Bible this year. 1 year to read through the entire Bible. I know many of you just kind of choked there. Roughly, you would be reading 4 or 5 chapters a day. As we work on the spiritual disciplines and disciplining our bodies, disciplining our spiritual lives, learning to read the Bible and listen for God's voice and to hear Him. What I've done to make it easier, so you don't think that I'm just giving you a challenge and throwing you out there and stuff like that, is I've put together, and I have copies of them up here, and there's more of them back there. I put together a few different ways to read through the Bible, and I'll go over one with you and so you can see it. There's one that I have, it basically this color. And I've got them designed, at least most of them are designed, where you can cut this into fours, and then you can bookmark it, okay? And they're bookmarks. And so what's on this side, once you read through this, when you're done there, if you just flip it over, you just continue right there. And then this would be somewhere in March. It's March, May 29th is that one there, but this one is April 10th. And you can read through the Bible. This will just take you straight through from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21. If you look on the your scripture text for the message today, it says, Don kind of laughed when I sent it to him. This color will take you straight through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. There's another one that I have. Say you don't want to just get stuck reading at the beginning through the Old Testament. This one here, the yellowish one, it'll do the same thing for you, but you'll start at Genesis, but the same day you start at Genesis, you'll also start at Matthew. And you'll read from Genesis through to Malachi. And you'll start at Matthew and you'll read through to Revelation. And so you'll be reading less from the Old Testament each day because you're going to throw in a little bit of the New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament parallel. You're reading them together at the same time. That's the yellow one. They're back there and I'll help you with them. I have another one. It is a white one. Kind of broken up the same way. You can split them up. This one is a chronological order of reading through the Bible. And so you'll start at Genesis and you'll get part of the way through Genesis and you'll get to read Job and then you'll continue Genesis. When you get to the New Testament there, you'll be reading Matthew and Luke at the same time when you get to the Christmas story. The white sheets are a chronological order of the Bible there. Now, for some of you who are really organized and you need to have things together, I got a calendar. It is an actual calendar. And in the blue, it tells you what you would read for the day. Okay? And then you can make your own little notes or your own other things. And so the white sheets back there that look like calendars, you have January and you have February. If any of you are really wanting to do this one, okay, and you want to do this, I will get the rest of them for you. I can get you March and April and May and June, and I'll do the same, publish them that way and get them out there for you and stuff. So the white one calendars for you really highly organized people. I'm not one of them. But that's that. The last one I have for you, wow, that's bright. Okay, this one here, basically, it's you'll read through, and each day of the week, you'll be reading something different. So on Sundays, you'll always read the epistles. Those are the letters. On Monday, it's always the law. On Tuesday, you're always reading history. On Wednesdays, you're reading from the Psalm. On Thursday, you're always reading poetry. On Friday, you get prophecy, and on Saturday, you get the Gospels. So what you'll do is it'll break it up for you. You'll still read through the entire Bible, but instead of just starting Genesis and working through, you'll get to read different sections, and each day is committed to a different thing. That's the bright green one. Now, if you want, there are places that you can get apps. Okay, some of you probably don't understand that. If you have a smartphone or a tablet or a computer, you can actually get an application that you can install into that particular machine, and it will give you your daily Bible reading. So you don't really even have to think about it. Mike's holding his up, see? And stuff. You can read your Bible there. It will pull up what your Bible reading is, and you can follow along with that. You can cross-reference with it. So if you have a tablet or a smartphone or an iPod or something that has some more intelligence, more than my simply sending text message phone, okay, and you want to try that, or if you have a computer, even if you just have the computer, you can actually get the thing and download it, and every day it will give you what your reading is for that day. The whole idea is somehow to just challenge you 2012 to try to read through the Bible. See what God has for you. See what God has in store for you as we take this year as a congregation to learn to love God more and to be more intimate with Him. Not just know about Him, but to be intimate with Him. That's the challenge I have for you. If you're willing to take that challenge, the papers will be in the back there. You can take one. If I need to get something different for you, let me know. We will try to work out a reading plan that works for you. There are all different ways that it can be done. If you're willing to take the challenge.